Say good morning. How are you doing? Good to see you. I can't believe it that a year ago on this Sunday, it would have been this Sunday, Kath and I have been here for a year. It's amazing. Incredible, isn't it? But it goes so quickly, doesn't it? And also for us, it kind of goes so slowly and quickly. It's kind of both those kind of things. There's so much to take in. And there's also, the sort of speed of time, so going bang, bang, bang. So it's amazing. So it's great being here, and it's great to continue being here as we begin to lead out more and more as the Lord leads us. What I felt the Lord, this weekend, Kath and I have had the privilege of being down with Malcolm Hunt's pastorate. They've got a weekend away this weekend, down in a place called Ballinclash, down in County Wicklow. At, I think it's a lady called Vivian Bostock. I think it's a friend of the church here who for many years has worshipped at CORE. And as I was thinking about preparing the talk, and as I begin to think about what does God want to say for that weekend, I had a number of ideas, but the Lord kept saying, kept coming again, again, again. He said, I want you to speak to God's people about my Sabbath, about the Sabbath rest. And I thought, well, I've heard about the Sabbath. What on earth is that all about? And I believe the Lord wants to speak to us as a church about taking God's time seriously, because God put a Sabbath in for the benefit of God's people. And I'm going to begin to expound that in a minute as we begin to look into that. It says this in Hebrews 4, there remains then a Sabbath day rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. And again it says this in Exodus, Moses assembled the whole Israelite community and said to them, these are the things the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day shall be your holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. So let's just pray. So Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your word. I thank you that it's living and active. It's sharp. It can define. It can cut through. It can change. It can do all sorts of things, Lord. And we just pray now, Lord, that your word will be active. May your spirit bring this word to life. Lord, may we be a people of peace and space and time. May you create what you intended on earth with us, Lord, your people. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, the first time we hear the word Sabbath ever within the scriptures comes in Genesis. And it's probably a familiar verse to many of us here this morning, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. It says this, by the seventh day God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creation that he had done. And then over that period of time, over the 6 days, God created man and woman, as we know the story about Adam and Eve. And God intended man and woman in order to have relationship with God. He intended to create a space in which he would be able to share his character and to share his nature. He wanted to create a place where God and man could coexist together, where there'll be wonderful peace, and it's a place which, in other words, is a place called heaven. And we look at it in a minute, what happens. And then sin came into the world, and we know the story when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. And sin enters the world, and God's created order descends into chaos. What God intended to be an ordered place, a place of time, a place to hang out with God, the place where God will reveal himself, has descended into a place of chaos. We live in a fallen world. Rest has become rush. As I said a few months ago, rush around and know that I am God. Doesn't work, does it? Keep rushing, keep rushing, keep rushing. You can't hear, can you? We're conducted by the world and not by God. Busy, 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 more busy, busy, busy. You're not doing enough. You're not worth enough because you're not doing enough. Busy, 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 busy. So what is God's answer to chaos? Well, God initiated the Sabbath to bring order to chaos, to bring us into relationship with Him, so we could enter into God's space, God's world, God's view, God's peace, and God's blessing. It's quite important, isn't it? Jesus says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." See, God wants us to be a people of peace, not as the world, but as God intended. And my proposition is this, the Sabbath day brings order to the chaotic world and reorders our lives as God intended. When we attend to God, He attends to us. It is for His glory that we take seriously the command to enter into the Sabbath and be a people of peace. And some of the most impressive people in my life who've challenged me and the people that I've really, I would say, have really brought something otherly than most people, are those who are people of peace. Those who, when you're in their presence, you know everything's going to be all right. And you see, we're meant to be people of peace within our community. We're meant to be different from our community. We're places of, the Lord's there, it's going to be all right. Why? Because we know that. And we don't know it unless we spend time in that place. So what is the Sabbath? Well, Sabbath means to rest from labour. It says in Exodus, it says, 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant, or your maidservant, nor your animals, your aliens within your gates. For it is the sixth day the Lord has made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but He rested on the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And then we get the word sabbatical from the word Sabbath, which means an extended time of rest from labour. And often people in ministry will take a period of a few months over a period of time to have that time to get away from the busyness of ministry, to remember God, to spend time with God, to be re-envisioned, to be refreshed, to be built up. In Leviticus, it talks about the sabbatical year. And after every 6 years, the land for a year was allowed to rest. This enabled the soil to be restored. It was a time where debt was cancelled within the community, and the time where the community re-looked at their community to see how they could give to the poor. In the year of Jubilee, which is a cycle of 7 sabbatical years, followed by a year, and that's to mark 50 years, it says this, "Count off 7 Sabbaths of a year, 7 times 7 years, so that the Sabbath of years amounts to a period of 49 years. Then have the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. Sound the trumpet throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee year for you. Each one of you is to return to his family, to his property, and each to his own clan. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow and do not reap what grows of itself, or harvest the unintended vines. Unintended. For it is a jubilee and it is to be holy for you. Eat only what is taken directly from the fields." And so the jubilee year was celebrated every 50 years. It was called the acceptable year of the Lord. Isaiah 61 says that as Jesus ushered in the year of jubilee. In Ezekiel it's called the year of liberty. And Leviticus and Numbers highlight what God will do as we take seriously the Sabbath and the jubilee, that there'll be a blessing to God's people, and we'll look at what that looks like in the future. It's interesting, during World War II, when the war was at its highest, and there was a great push on to support the war effort, the productivity level at that period of time was 6 days, and they're working 6 days with a day's rest. And they thought, gosh, the war is getting, Hitler's moving into here and there, so we need to up the productivity, we need to work harder. And so, it was 7 days, suddenly the nation working for 7 days. But actually, when they look back over the productivity between those who work 6 days and those who work seven, there's absolutely no difference. See, we need a break. We need time out. It doesn't matter what is in front of us. We need time. We need to be with the Lord. We need to be with each other. We need to hang out and create that place. Because if we don't, nobody else will. And I already know that. So God's gift to us is His invitation to enter into His rest. So we can enter into God's space, God's world, God's view, God's peace, and God's blessing. To see the world through His eyes as it really is. Jesus says this, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So God not only created heaven and earth, He created the Sabbath. A day like God took rest, we too need to take God's rest. Isaiah 58 makes a link between the Sabbath day's rest and being part of His restoration and blessing. In Isaiah 58, if I can find it, says this. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honourable, and if you honour it by not doing your own, going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And previously to this, it talks about the whole idea about us being part of loosening the chains of injustice, untying the yokes, setting the oppressed free, sharing our food with the hungry, providing the poor wanderer with shelter, clothing the naked, etc., 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 etc. How can we serve a broken world if we don't enter into God's world? How can we be restorers if we are not restored? How can we feed the poor? How can we clothe the hungry or clothe those who are cold? How can we provide for those who are naked, etc., etc., unless we enter into God's world? Because how can we restore if we're not restored? How can we do the things of the kingdom if we're absolutely nothing left of the kingdom? That really blew me away when I read that. You see, we can't do any of this unless we spend the time with God and doing as He's commanded us to do, to set apart time to be with Him. Isaiah 56 says this, a link between salvation and Sabbath. This is what the Lord says, maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, the man who holds fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it and keeps his hand from doing any evil. You see, salvation comes when God's people take His time and space seriously. It's not difficult for God to bring people into His kingdom, but it's difficult for God to do things with God's people when they're too busy doing their own things. Isaiah 61 talks about the year of the Lord's favour. It's the text which Jesus used to usher in His ministry. He says this in Luke 4. He went to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day He went into the synagogue, as was the custom. He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. Unrolling it, He found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Then He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Him, and He began saying to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. God ushered in His ministry, He ushered in the kingdom of God, He ushered in the year of Jubilee. It is when God's kingdom confronts the kingdom of chaos. It's where God's kingdom confronts the sin that has left this chaotic world. So those who are born blind in the world because of the fall and because of sin, you can see. Those who have been deaf because of the chaotic world, because of sin coming into the world, that's never God's intention. The Lord says, you can hear. The Lord says the lame can walk. The dead can rise. Why? Because God's kingdom has come. His kingdom has come to push back the work of the enemy. And it was done on the year of the Sabbath, the Jubilee year, when it was God's day, God's time, God's place. And ultimately, we will see the ultimate restoration, as we pictured in Revelation 21, of the new kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth, which will come down, which will be God's perfect place, perfect space, where we'll have that relationship, we'll have that time together. He will reveal again his character as he always intended to be. There'll be no more tears, no more crying, no more disease, no more blind, no more deaf, no more infirms, no more nothing. It will be as God intended it to be, which is the ultimate of God's creation. If you turn with me to Hebrews 4, I'm just going to fly through this, as this is for me really connected the Old Testament with the New. That what God spoke about in the Old Testament hasn't gone away. Sorry, folks. And I've been challenged more and more reading recently. I've been reading Hebrews and Romans and things, and it's just fascinating how Paul takes hold of the Old Testament and brings it right into our midst. It says this, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. And on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath day rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates the marrow, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Hebrews 4 doesn't say the Old Testament is irrelevant. Hebrews 4 doesn't say the Sabbath day rest is not for today. What it says is, let us not fall short of entering God's rest. It says, be careful not to fall short of it. And the God, in this particular example, used the example of those who are called by God into the promised land. The good news was preached to them, but they responded in a way that God never intended. It says they heard the good news, but were disobedient to it. Romans says this, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I'll make you envious by those who are not a nation. I'll make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to disobedient and obstinate people. And I just believe that your God is wanting us to respond to him. It says this, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And that's for all of us, isn't it? It's for me, it's for you, it's for everybody. The unbelievers hardened their hearts and were left in the wilderness and never entered into Canaan. And it says in the Bible, never entered into their rest. But instead, God has called us to be a people of word and a people of faith. Word and obedience will enable us to see God's promises happen. It's no good being great word readers of the word, but not putting it into practice, is it? Because it doesn't make sense, does it? But faith is trusting Jesus and obedient to his word, his ways. God's ways bring peace. God's ways bring redemption. God's ways bring transformation. Hebrews says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the thing is, someone enter that rest because they've decided to do it their own way. There's only two kingdoms of this world. People like to say there's three. There's God's way, there's the enemy's way. There's no middle ground. And of course, we don't want to be like that, do we? I don't want to be like that. And that's why it's been very challenging writing this talk, because I can be like that. But God gave the model of rest for the benefit of man. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following that example of disobedience. And so how do we do this? How do we apply this to our lives? I think the first thing is putting God first. The priority of God. If we put people first, if we took time to honour God, every single ministry in this church will be thriving. We've been really struggling to get people in the church to pray at the end of the services. Over 80 people have gone through the training. We're struggling on Sunday night to have people to oversee the ministry. And last week, it was all the leadership team ended up praying for everybody. And it's exhausting after being there first thing in the morning all the way through to late at night and everything else. If we can't minister in the church, how on earth can we minister outside the church? In the same way as you prepare to pass the driving test in order to drive a car, you go through the ministry training in order to be part of the ministry team in the church. And I want to ask people here, please, if you've been trained up in the ministry of the church, can you please help us to minister to those who are hurt in this church? For those who are overseeing ministry, who've stepped down from it, maybe for good reasons, but couldn't you rethink about it? Or those who've been in the church for a long time, who giving once a month, half an hour at the end of the service, is that difficult? Because we can't minister in this church to the broken, to the hurting, to those who just need a touch of God, unless the people of God make themselves available. Because that's what Sabbath day's rest is, entering into God. God's way, God's space. I can't with integrity release people into greater ministries if they're not faithful in the small ones. If people can't pray at the front, help us week by week, if people can't make themselves available to help oversee the ministry so that we have good order and good practice, I can't release people into things they would like to do which are bigger than that. Because if we can't get that right, how on earth can we be trusted with the bigger things of God? I'm afraid we can't. How do we enter into that rest? Tithing time. In the same way as we look at our money and think, well, we give 10% of that. Why not say, let's tithe some of our time and give it back to God? Well, he gave us that time in the first place, didn't he? Wouldn't be here otherwise. He gave us 100% time. Why don't we trust God for the day ahead? Why do we trust God to provide for us? Why do we have to work so hard all the time to get such a small reward? Why don't we trust God? Let's work hard in the time we've been given, but let's trust God for the extras. Jehovah Jireh, he is my provider. That's what God says. He's a provider. That's his nature. That's his character. You see, God wants to reveal in the Garden of Eden his nature and his character. Fallen world, you lose his nature, you lose his character, you forgot that he provides. In the Bible, they plan for the Sabbath. In the desert, when God provided the manna, he provided for 6 days. On the sixth day, you take double the amount, so on the Sunday, you don't need to gather the bread. And of course, there were those out there who were trying to gather bread on the seventh, but there was no bread. And the bread they did have was rotted, because they could not trust God for the Sabbath. And you see, we've got 6 days of the week to do exactly what we wanted. Couldn't we plan for one day of the week where we could say, I will prioritise my life in a way that enables me to do things for the Lord? Like to stay behind once a month to help pray, or to stay behind and oversee once a month. It's a very small cost. It's half an hour that much. And someone's life can be changed by using you to bring God's kingdom, to bring his blessing. And it says this, as I bring to a conclusion. It says in Leviticus, observe my Sabbath and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. And it speaks through a number of things that I won't read, but I'll summarise it. If you follow my decrees and carefully obey my commands, it says this, I'll bring rain in due season. I'll increase the harvest. I'll bring peace in the land. God will rid the beasts of the land. God will chase out the enemy before us. We would become fruitful and multiply. He will establish his covenant with us. We will have abundance of the old grain and the new. He will settle his tabernacle in our midst, so we will know his presence. He will walk in our midst. We will be accepted by him. He will be our God, and we will be his people. That is the fruit of the Sabbath. That is the fruit of building God first into our diaries. That is what will happen when we take time to put that space in. So we won't be a people of physically burned out, spiritually hanging on, a people with a little hope and direction. God initiated Sabbath for man to bring order to chaos, and to bring us into relationship with him, so we could enter into God's space, God's world, God's view, God's peace, God's blessing, and God's kingdom. Praise God, eh? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that when we preach, Lord, we know that we have to all put our houses in order, including the person who's teaching. Lord, I thank you that your word is the standard that we have to raise our bar towards. And Lord, I just want to really pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us to release that space and that time to be with you. And Lord, we want to repent when we haven't taken you seriously. We haven't prioritised you in our lives. That we've become too important in our lives. And Lord, when we stand before you, it won't be about what we did. It will be about how we responded to what you called us to do. And Lord, you've called us to be a mighty army. You've called us to be fruitful, to be effective, to be extraordinary, because because of your extraordinary. Not because of us, but because of you. And Lord, I thank you that we are ordinary people, but you're an extraordinary God. And you take the ordinariness of us and make it into something which is really beautiful. And Lord, I just want to pray now, Lord, that you would bring your peace, your shalom, which is perfect order. Lord, we live in chaos. The news is full of chaos. But you want to bring peace. And Lord, you want to invite us to the Sabbath. To see it as it really is. To resource us. To give us space. To give us time. And Lord, the yoke of this world is exhausting. But your yoke is easy and light. And you're gentle and humble of spirit. And that is the model that you've called us to be. And so let's stand as we just begin, just let the Lord begin to move, as he already is moving, as he's speaking, as he wants to release us into that space. It's interesting in Isaiah 61, which is the year of the Lord's favour, he sets the captives free. And some of us are captive. We're not free, because we've got no time. We can only do what we've already planned. We can't change the schedule. Unless otherwise it's not going to happen. Well, I just believe that we need to say enough's enough's enough. Let's start. The Sabbath is the first day of the week in the Hebrew calendar, which was then interpreted through the early church. It's the first day, not the last day. It's the first day to honour the Lord as the beginning of the week. It's a time to put him first, to wait on him, to spend time with him, to order the week around him. And then the 6 days we can put that into practice. And I just want to invite the good of the other worship guys to come up and maybe play some music as we minister. But I just think it would be really good just to break the chaos of the world off some of us. And that can be the Lord can break in afresh today to actually show us that it doesn't have to be like this. Because it's exhausting. And so Holy Spirit, Lord, I just want to welcome your presence. I want to acknowledge you're here already, but we want you to move in the ways and you do, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would call us to the higher things. You call us to the things of your kingdom, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you value service above anything else. If you came to serve, Lord, how much more are we called to serve? And I believe that word is that some of here feel that they're in prison. But the year of the Lord's favour is to set the captive free. To set the captive free. And a prison defines space. The word salvation means wide open spaces. It's wonderful, isn't it? A prison contains us, salvation liberates us. And I believe the Lord wants to liberate us into those wide open spaces. So Lord, just come and move upon us now, Lord. Each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that it is alive and active, Lord. Thank you that it wants to set us free, Lord, into your space. Thank you for salvation, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Father, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let it come now, Lord. Sabbath to rest from your labour. To rest, not to do, to be, not to be doing. And I just want to invite, as the worship is, who enter into the worship, just those who feel burdened, those who have no peace, those who feel that the whole world is on top of them. But I just believe the Lord wants to exchange that yoke with His yoke. It's easy. God says it's easy. It's easy. Believe me. And so I just want to invite you forward now just to respond to that. Step out so the Lord can step into your world and invite you into His. I just want to invite you just to come this morning. It's just, the Lord wants you to enter into His Sabbath. To enter into His rest. To enter into shalom, His peace, His order, as it was meant to be. The vision of the new heaven and new earth is a vision of what is to come. But we can have some of that on the way there. Increase now, Lord, increase it, Lord. Lord, more of your peace, Lord. So let it come, Lord. Let your peace come, Lord. Let it come, Lord. All who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. The Sabbath rest, I will give you rest. You've got to bring it to Him. It doesn't work with anyone else. Those who have been trained, who are not going to be prayed for or not at this time, why don't you come forward and help us minister to those who God is touching, so we can do this together. Then the burden's light for all of us. And there's another word that I've just had spoken to me, that the Lord is the mender of hearts. And those who have a broken heart, or those who have hearts have been shattered for whatever reason, come forth that we may pray with you and restore you and give you what God has for you.
Heart, and all we do is give back to you what always has.